Thanks for subscribing to the Calvary Chapel Melbourne podcast. It's our hope and prayer that God will use this message to draw you closer to Jesus. Don't forget to sync your device regularly to get the latest podcasts from Calvary Chapel Melbourne. For more information, log on to calvaryccm.com.
We've joined our campus in Vieira, a campus right here. Good to have the kids this morning, huh? Fantastic. And it's awesome. Awesome. And we're going to pass out Bibles right now. And as I said, the Vieira campus has joined us, and those of you online. And here's what you need to do. Just raise your hand. If you're watching at home, just get your Bible. And you can turn to the Acts chapter 2. We're going to be there in just a second. And I do encourage you as you're getting toward just, two more Sundays, and then that week is Christmas. Make sure you get the invites. I'll try to remind you right at the end. Just take a few with you. Do whatever. Keep them in your car. Take them to work. When people are invited, one of the two times during the year that they come basically more than any other time, as you know, is Christmas and guess what? Easter. Exactly right. So, again, encourage you to do that. Now, during these seasons of just wonderful holidays, there's lots of people that travel, and that's what happened last weekend, which is normal for Thanksgiving, lots of people. So what I'm going to do, what I taught last week, and by the way, we had great crowds anyway, I'm going to give you a little summary of last week, a very quick one, so you'll understand it. Now, let me just give you the history. You remember that the 120 people with the apostles were in the upper room. They got filled with the Spirit, and supernatural things that God was doing there attracted Jewish people who were there for the Pentecost festival. Thousands and thousands and thousands. We don't know how many, probably 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people were there. And then Peter gave his first sermon ever. And he spoke, focused on Jesus. And at the end of the service, the people in their heart, man, they went, we blew it. We didn't know that was the real Messiah. We actually killed him. What should we do? And Peter said, repent, believe, be water baptized, and you'll be saved. Your sins will be gone, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. From that point, what Jesus had planned all along was his church. And we see the baby believers start in this first New Testament church. Now, how would you like to be, if there is no church yet, and your first congregation that's going to be there is 3,000 baby Christians? You think that would be a challenge of any kind? Yeah, from all over the world, different languages, whatever. So this is the church that Jesus started. Now, sometimes we misunderstand the word church. Here it is for you. It's people, not buildings. People called out from the world to follow God. So notice the next statement I have for you. The church is not a building, but it's a body of people, of believers who are here, that's all of us, who are here to carry out the purposes of God on the earth. That's why you're here. That's what a church is. It's not a building. Now, to wake you up this morning, I want you to say two things. I want you to turn to your neighbor in a second, watch me, and say, Vieira, same thing, I am the church. And then I want you to say to your neighbor, you are the church. All right, come on, practice. Here we go. I'm the church. All right. So I'm going to remind you all the way through the teaching, the key words, I am the church. It's not a building. Now, Jesus was the head of the church. He founded the church, he designed the church, and he still directs his church. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is our foundation of that. Now, as you see that happening, the apostles were part of the 120, 12 of them. They're thinking, we have some issues here. How are we going to handle 3,000 people? Well, let me just give you an idea what that looks like. There was no church organization at all, no church building. Think about that. No constitution bylaws, no worship band, no instruments, no webpage, no archive sermons. You know why there was no archive sermons? Because there's only one. How can you have an archive sermon? That's it. And Peter did it. They didn't have a... Now think about this. They had some training in the Old Testament, but they didn't carry the scrolls. They knew nothing about the New Testament because they didn't believe in Jesus. And nobody knew who was going to be the lead pastor. How do you pick those 12 and make one? So what we see as we do this passage today, Acts chapter 2, where I ask you to turn to, we'll do 42 to 47. What you're going to see that it's not a problem for Jesus. He had it all planned out perfectly. And what you're going to see was the key was this. Just think about this. 3,000 brand new believers that really know nothing about Christianity. They know something from the Old Testament, but that's it. Now, you're going to see building blocks for the church, which is people. How do we move new converts? Everybody starts as a new convert when you get saved. How do we move them to disciples? What's that path look like? Man, they're over here. They know nothing. How do you mature them? How do you grow? Well, it doesn't happen overnight. So here's what Jesus already had planned, as you can see it. He's going to show them that they needed to be taught, and we'll start with the key, the Word of God, so that they could make themselves that me going into disciples. Here's what you understand. When Jesus came, he gave us a great commission. The great commission wasn't about converts. Converts always is the first step. But it's about making disciples. So notice this. The core of discipleship is becoming like Jesus. And this is done through one way, basically. Systematic teaching of God's word. And then, teaching isn't enough. But then, obeying it. So Jesus designs and gives this to the apostles as they teach 6 spiritual building blocks that will build his church. Not the building, but take the people from baby Christians to start growing and maturing to become disciples. Now, these foundational principles would enable every single one of them if they pay attention to these foundations, and they would become spiritually mature. Now, we begin in verse 42. And all of them, all 3,000 plus the other 120, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In that one verse are 4 foundations, building blocks, 4. I'm going to give you 2 more. There's probably a few more, and of course, outside of this, there's more as you go through. So we're going to have 6 today. Right in that verse there, are 4 building blocks. Now, the word devoted, we don't use that too often ourselves. Now, sometimes in marriage, we'll say that to our spouse, I'm devoted to you. We understand that. The real meaning of that is to commit ourselves, to commit our time, our resources, to use these 6 building blocks that Jesus gave the church. He knew exactly how to mature us and grow us. Now, the first building block, if you want to write it this morning, I encourage you to do it. You have your notes. You know it's available to you every week before you even come to the service. Study and obey the Bible. Be a learning church. Be a learning church. Now, what teachings would the apostle give? You know, as pastors, we all learn. You have to learn who you're teaching to. If I'm on a mission trip and I'm overseas, and I'm teaching to mature pastors, I teach differently than I do a mixed group, of course. You have to just do things differently. So what are they going to do? Well, here's what the apostles' teaching included. Number one, of course, the Old Testament. Because that's really if those 3,000 people, Jewish people, that's the only thing they ever had. They never heard of Mark, Luke, and John because they were never even written. And they never understood Jesus. They didn't believe in him, so they didn't know anything about that. But guess what? When the disciples, those apostles, spent 3.5 years with Jesus, did they learn anything? How many messages do you think they heard from Jesus? Oh, my goodness. So what are they going to do? They're going to include the Old Testament, because that's what the people know, but they're going to mesh it with what? The teachings of Jesus. Because these people never knew it, but that's what we move from, the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now, when you see all of that happening, those biblical truths that were given to the disciples are going to be passed on to these new believers. Now, what about us today? What do we do? Well, it's exactly the same. Here we are 2,000 years later. The principle of teaching the Bible is the same. Take a look on the overhead. Paul said this to a young pastor named Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed, and notice what happens. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If you look at those, that's a balanced teaching. It's for all of us. When I study, sometimes God, and you'll see at the end of the teaching today, God corrected me and showed me something that he wanted me to expand on, and I did that. Now, and training in righteousness, being right with God. Now, why that? It's the same. That's what we do here, Old Testament, New Testament. We teach it to you. It's the truth of God's word. Well, verse 17 tells us why. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. In other words, the end result is a mature believer. Now, none of us will ever get there perfectly, but you don't want to stay a baby Christian. You'll never accomplish anything. You'll not ever be able to take the potential God put in you and you just maintain a baby. It's all about me. It's all about me. No, that's not what we do. We do all of those things. Now, Jesus tells us there has to be a center in our life. There it is. It's the Word of God. We must understand that teaching and learning is necessary for you to be what God designed us to be. Now, why? Because Satan has one major hate. He hates the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is also Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Jesus. He hates it. So we teach it because our lives are going to be filled with spiritual warfare. You're well aware of that. Satan's out to dilute the Word, steal the Word, and basically deny the Bible. Now, that's the first thing. That's the foundation, the Word of God. The Word of God. Number, verse 42, look at the second one. And they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Now, fellowship is a Greek word, koinonia. Of course, we never use it. But here's what the definition is. Sharing. Key word, sharing. Say it with me. Sharing. That's what it means. Sharing of life in all areas. Real sharing of ourselves with God and with others. Now, that brings a second building block. Very simple. Here it is. Building block number two, fellowship. In other words, we need to be related to God. Remember, it's always about personal and with others. It's also personal, just not the names of people, but we have relationships with people, believers and unbelievers. So a church should be known not only as a learning place, but a loving place where we love one another and we allow the Spirit to speak to us. Now, here's something that you understand, but sometimes we don't understand. I told you a few weeks ago, we had more than 140 churches represented on a night as we're working toward amazing thing that's going to happen in the Plow organization in March. And look what this says. As Christ followers, we are all part of the same spiritual family. Paul writes it like this. Just as our bodies, our physical bodies, have many parts, and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Now, I want you to just look around you. Just look front, back, look around you. Look at the people. Here's what I want you to say as you're looking around. Come on, obey your pastor. Look around. Don't just sit there and look at me. Well, okay, Pastor Mark, I'm obeying you. Yeah, you're really obeying me. I want you to look around. Come on, just look around. Just turn your heads. You can turn your heads. That's good. Now, here's what I want you to say to each other. Come on. By the way, turn to the person behind you when you say this, not the person next to you. Just turn to the person behind you. That's good. Here's what you want to say. Come on. Listen. We are family. Come on. Yeah, exactly. Wonderful. Are you glad or not? You see, I didn't know that person was in my family. Well, they just said the same thing about you. So let's move on. We are family. Family of God. Awesome. Awesome. Now, how does that look? Pastor Mark, do we really have that much in common? Listen, we share the same love for God, our Savior, our Maker. We share the same for Jesus because He is the one who saved us. We share the same Holy Spirit because He guides all of us. We share the same desire to worship Him because He's worthy of our worship. We share the same love for the Bible. That's why we're here. We share the same desire to make who look good? Not us. God look good. And we share in following the same Jesus, and we share in the same joy of communicating the gospel to others. See, realistically, we're Christ followers. We all follow the same exact person, Jesus. Bottom line, listen. We share with each other in good times, but we share with each other in difficult times. You see, when we go through difficult times, you don't want to do that alone. Now, we always have God, but God designed us to be relational with people. You need people to come alongside and encourage you. You'll see some of that in a moment. So we're common. Jesus said to us, warning, in this world, you're going to have trouble. So when that comes, we share in the good and the difficult times. Now look at verse 44. Just scoot down to there. And all the believers were together and had everything in what? Common. Now when you see that, you have to understand that means all of us. All of us. Now watch this. And a key word, I want you to say it with me, defining a sharing church is what? Together. Just say it with me. Together. Together. That's a key word you're going to see all the time as we move through it. Now, when you see that happening, that word together is such a powerful thing. The early church, even though they didn't really, you know, what you think, well, I never saw these people want to turn back. I don't know those people. What do you think about 3,000 people that came from 15 different countries? See, they really didn't know each other, but it functioned as a family by doing things together. Here's what you see the early church doing, and this is what we do. God wants us to study together, to worship together, to give together, to serve together, to have fun together, and even to celebrate together. Now, how do I know that's what God wants us to do? How do we know that we're supposed to share our lives, good and bad times, with other people? Well, because of this. The Bible is filled with 50 plus one another, not suggestions, commands that prove God designed us to live together with Him and with other people. Not just our families, our physical families, but with people in the church. Now, let me give you some examples, and you can just think about these. I'm not giving you all 50. That's way too many. Here we go. Do love one another. These are the positives. Do receive one another. Do greet one another. Do submit to one another. Do serve one another. Do confess to one another. That's from the book of James. Do forgive one another. That's all through the scripture. And here's the big one when we're going through a different time. Do encourage one another. Anybody out there ever need encouragement? Yes. And if we get it from God, is it good to get it from another person? Yes. Absolutely. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And to do that, you have to be around other people. You can't do life alone. Now, here's the don't. These are a little more difficult for us. Don't devour another person. Don't irritate another person. Can anybody say, I'm guilty right now? Can you say, I'm guilty right now? Okay. Husbands, keep your hand up. Now, don't be jealous of one another. Don't speak evil of one another. Remember the gossip deal? Mm-hmm. Don't provoke one another. Actually, these three kind of go together. Evil, lie, provoke, and judge. Now, why would God give us those? Because he knows our old sin nature. He knows exactly. And so God never designed people to function alone. Because spiritual growth, listen, Vieira, listen. Spiritual growth doesn't happen alone. It doesn't happen alone. Now, here's where you need to smile at your neighbor again. You can do front, back, sideways. I don't really care. But I'm trying to get you to understand that we are a family. Say to your neighbor, together is better. Come on. Together is better. Now, some of you are talking to a blind seat. That's okay. But together is it better? Is it better? Yeah, it's better. Sure. Now, the early church understood this and the importance of submitting to God, and they practiced it. For what do we do? They learned to practice it. 3,000 people that didn't know each other, they learned to do amazing to me, and you'll see it at the end. It was so powerful. They just started blending together. And, you know, I said, well, I don't like to be around people I don't know. Good luck. There's 3,000 of them you don't know. But they got it. They understood. Now, what do we do here at our campuses? Well, to maintain that family-like attitude and atmosphere, we create all kinds of opportunities for our people, including myself and the pastors. You know, I meet with we have about 18 to 19 pastors. I meet with them two to three times a month for an hour every week, those three times a month. And we meet with all kinds of people, and we've made it available for you to have small groups, women's, men's, divorce care, grief share, married couples, young mothers, homeless students, and all kinds of special groups. Drug addiction and pornography and all of those. Why do we do that? Because that's where you get help and that's where you encourage one another and you get to find out about one another. So I just want to say that will again start in January, as you know. And as those small groups get going again, thank you so much for being part of it, because a loving church does this. We put love in action and it makes God look good. Now, look at verse 42. Here's going to be our third. And I use it for the New Living Translation because it explains something. Watch this. All believers devoted themselves to sharing in meals, and here's the key part of it, including the Lord's Supper. Now, back in those days, very often they would have a meal as a group of believers, especially as the church moved on. But very often it included at the end communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Now, when you see that happening, this says this is our third building block. Jesus designed this. Now, look at it. Communion, keeping the focus on Jesus, a worshiping church. Now, worship, many people don't understand worship. Here's the definition of worship: to assign worth or value to something, really in the church, it isn't a thing, to someone. Now, when you see that, when we share communion, we're always doing one thing. We're worshiping God. We're giving worth to God. And the focus is always on who? Jesus. Jesus. You need to understand this principle. Sometimes, by the way, we're sharing communion at our campuses after the services this weekend. So take a look at this next one. The main purpose of communion is to remember Jesus. Jesus, you'll see it. He says this alone, by himself. Remember me. Well, Pastor Mike, I never met Jesus. Well, of course we haven't. But can we remember what he did for us? Exactly. Now, he puts it in there because this is all new to the 3,000. Why is it all new to them? Not to the 120, not to the apostles, but why is it all new to the 3,000? They never believed in Jesus. So when they establish this as a foundation, notice, we focus and we remember on him and what he did on the cross for us. The only reason you're a Christian today is because Jesus did the will of God. Same for me, all of us. So in that worship time, it's a time of taking communion, and we do that, and we'll do that again. Now, when you see, it meant a lot to these people, those 3,000. They may have been there to see Jesus on the cross. They certainly didn't go to his tomb, and they'd never believed that he was resurrected. But you see what happens. When they go through all of this, some of them may have been when they said, "Crucify him." And now they're remembering what Jesus did on the cross. Because days before, all these 3,000 became believers. Why? Because they were forgiven. Jesus died on the cross for their sins. That would have been incredibly personable for them. We have to remember that ourselves. Now, there was another type of worship in the church. Look down. I have it on the overhead for you. Verse 47. All the while they're together, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. You see, worship is a natural response for who God is and what he has done. It isn't something we work up. It's natural. It's absolutely natural. Now, I'm going to give you a challenge again. There's two truths about what I'm going to share. Number one, every person I'm speaking to here, online, via, every person I'm speaking to this morning, this is true, is breathing. Is that right? If you look at somebody and go, "I'm not sure they're breathing." Well, wake them up. They're probably sleeping. Or let's call 911. So is everybody here breathing? Okay, that's good. All right. Now, the second key is this, and we don't get this very often. In the Old Testament, we really get it. Every person is wired by God to worship someone. When a person was created, they were created by God to worship him. But you will worship someone or something. You will absolutely do it. Many people don't understand that. People that aren't Christians, what do they worship? Themselves. Maybe a pagan god. Their home. Their job. Their money. Is that true? Of course it is. How about the people with alcoholism and drug problems? What do they worship? The drugs. The drugs. So we're designed by God to worship just him. That's the only person to be. Pastor Mark, we worship you. You're crazy. You can't worship a person. You worship God only. And you, I would never be worthy. Remember the word worthy? Are you kidding? None of us are worthy to be worshiped. Only God is willing, is worship. We want to worship him. Now, here's a psalm. Take a look at this. This is Old Testament. Probably some of the people knew this. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath, I'm getting there. Okay. Sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to leave that on there for a moment. But I want you now to turn to your neighbor and say, "I am breathing." Come on, come on. "I am breathing." Okay? So what does that verse say? What does that verse say? Let everything, let every person that is breathing. All right, you ready? I used to be a choir director. You ready? Here we go. Don't laugh at me. I was for a long time. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. But you can say this on the count of three. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Is that good? That's great. You know, sometimes when people come to church, "And I came out of that grave." I think you're still in the grave. Am I right? See, sometimes we just get used to what? I know that song. But when you see the kids, it kind of changes things, doesn't it? especially if it's your kids. I'm sure you're not proud, but yeah, right. Can I tell you how much praise does for us? When you sing praises to God, the object of worship is always God. You were created to worship God. Now, let me read this verse to you. Revelation 4. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will, they were created and have their being. You see, when we sing worship and praise songs, we're worshiping not the musicians, not the words. We're worshiping God by remembering all the good things he's done for us. When we worship and praise God, we're giving worth to God. And these new believers knew the importance of bringing praise to God. Why? They're believers. God forgave them for not believing he was the Messiah. Jesus wasn't. God just forgave them. And it was amazing. You know, on Friday night, we had a married couple's party, kind of just a thank you to all those people. And we had a Brazilian band that we have here, and they had a worship time. It was absolutely out of this world. You know, we have great people like that, the Brazilian bands, we speak a lot of Portuguese, and we have the Spanish band and all that. Isn't that a great way? You can sing in whatever language you got and praise the Lord. And it was excited. It was just gorgeous that night. Now, let me just say this to you. True worship means God is first in your life. That's what it means. Nothing else is first. Now, one of the things I've discovered in my life is when you get down, Christian music helps you get back up. Because it revs you back up. Even if you can't sing, it revs you back up. By the way, in heaven, you will be able to sing. I mean on key, okay? Okay. Some people look like, oh, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Remember, can't judge people. So when we get to heaven, we'll have that. But I can do it right now. Seriously, I'll say to Alexa, Alexa, Christian music. And away she goes. She's certainly not a Christian. Ask her that, she'll say, I didn't understand the question. Yeah, right. The album we talked about. We're not about selling albums. I want to say to you, all the years I've been here, 27, that was the greatest praise night I've ever been in. God's spirit, you'll hear it. You'll feel it as you play it. It was absolutely fantastic. And it's our people from all the campuses with their bands. So I just encourage you, for $5, you can't beat it. Get one after the service. Put it in your player, in your car. And, you know, when you're going through the difficult times and the hard times and whatever, man, that worship just builds you up. So I encourage you to do that. Or in your car, anytime. You know, just have the worship singing. The world doesn't bring us joy. God brings us joy. And he made it through worship. Now, verse 42, the last of the four initial building blocks. Here it is. They devoted themselves to prayer. Building block number four, prayer. Talk to and listen to God makes us a praying church. A praying church. Now, Jesus lived the life of prayer, and the disciples, they got it. They knew, as they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, they knew exactly what made Jesus' ministry successful. You know, he started with the Lord's Prayer and all kinds of things. They understood it. And remember the 120 believers, while they were waiting 10 days for the Spirit to come, what were they doing? Praying the whole time. And what is prayer really, what it does? It shows one thing, our dependence on God for his guidance and wisdom. That's why we pray. We just do that because we need wisdom and we need God's guidance in our life. The big thing is, you know this from Ephesians chapter 6, prayer is a deciding factor in spiritual warfare. Every day we're in spiritual warfare. Prayer is that deciding factor. So Satan will try to keep us from doing what? Okay, let me go back through that again. The deciding factor in spiritual warfare is what? Prayer. So what's Satan going to do? Keep me from what? Hello. Anybody have trouble with that? I have trouble with that. How many think you pray enough? Liar, liar, liar. Oh, I'm not supposed to judge you, sorry. None of us pray enough. None of us pray. And often we're guilty because what do we pray for? I want this, I want this. It's not a Christmas list. You start with what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I praise you. Amen? Remember, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We start with that. So this is the church. By the way, you know, in January, we'll do it again. We do it every year. We have 2 weeks of prayer culture. Starts at 6 in the morning. Some of you are just going to die in your street if you're new here. What? 6 o'clock? Yes, that's really the early service. Now, that service for 2 weeks where we fast and pray, it sets the stage for the whole year in our church. So I just encourage you to get ready for that. Now, how can Satan get us not praying? Well, two things. One, we neglect it because we become distracted when we're praying. I've learned to do one thing. When I get up, first thing I do is make coffee for my wife and myself. Then the very next thing I do, I sit down with YouVersion, and I read the verse of the day. Before I look at my email, before I look at my text, before I look at anything, I start with the Word of God. You know, if you open, and I can tell you this because I failed at it. If you start the day by looking at your stocks or looking at your emails or looking at all the things that you have to do, and pretty soon, you know what? You never get to pray because you're writing all these, oh, I forgot to do that. I have to fact, I have to look at that headline. That's horrible. Let me talk about this for a while. And pretty soon, breakfast is there and you're off to work, taking care of the kids, and there's no prayer. Am I right? So I find to do one very simple thing right there. Just go to YouVersion. You pop right at it, and it'll say verse of the day. And you can quote it, talk about it, read it. And when you see that, it just starts you on the right thing. And of course, then I wait the other stuff later. I go to my devotional where I write my notes from yesterday. How did I do? What did I do? And then eventually I go through my devotionals that I use. So when you see that, Paul knew the same principle. He knew he had to be committed to prayer because he was really under spiritual warfare. Look what he writes in Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, and here's the word, thankful. So it gives us three ways to do it. Pray regularly. If you're going to pray on a regular basis, does it take discipline? Yes, it does. Pray expecting to get answers. Well, God, I'm praying this, but I don't think anything is going to happen. Don't even pray. God answers prayer. He can do anything. So pray with faith. Third one is a big one for all of us. I talked with somebody last night after the service. Pray persistently. You know, during the seasons, we have relatives, we have friends, we've invited them to church, we ask them to do this, would you like to become a Christian? Boom, 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 boom. And pretty soon we go, man, I'm not going to ask them again. My kid isn't going to do this. And we just what? Sometimes we just give up. Stop praying. Don't stop praying. You never know what God's going to do. He wants, you know what he wants. So we just keep praying. So don't get discouraged. Now, remember something very interesting. These Christ followers, they were brand new babies. 3,000 of them came from all kinds of countries. Now, we have no idea how long they're going to stay in Jerusalem. Remember, most of the people, those 3,000, some of them, of course, lived in Jerusalem. Others, many others, lived outside the country. So they would need a place to stay. They would need food. Some of them would need clothes. Some of them would find a way to get back to their home. And they were going to stay as long as they could so they could get discipled. So how is God going to provide those kind of needs to 3,000 people? How's he going to do it? Well, look at verse 44. All the believers were, what's the word? Together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Now, this is one of my building blocks that I see in the scripture right here. Here it is. Number 5. These people were generously serving God and others. So what should a church be? A giving, serving church. God provided their needs. He could have done it just like, food, clothes, houses built. But he doesn't do that. He does it through people. We showed you that last week with the turkeys dinners that our U team does. And all the people, the kids that helped. And we packed 50 different Thanksgiving meals with a lot of people giving. That's what we do. Thank you again. So when you see this, God provided through generous giving believers. Now remember, what is my old sin nature? It's selfish. Anybody here ever have trouble with just want to focus on you? I do. I'm selfish sometimes. You know what I mean. But these believers were not. Look at this. Here's something very important. How do I know they're maturing? Look at this. These believers were already growing spiritually by displaying a new godly nature. Well, what is that? Giving rather than getting. Are you a giver or are you a getter? See, my old sinful nature is getting. The new nature that Jesus showed us is giving. He gave his life for all of us. And when you see that happening in these brand new babies, now, let's talk about that again. They've only been there a few days. And you know what a real baby does. Is the new baby that you have in the first month or 3 months or a year even sometimes, is that new baby selfish by nature? How do you know? At 2:30 in the morning, right? Mother, give me milk. Dad, get up, change my diapers. Am I right? This is so more funny this morning. Our dog, she's fed 3 times a day, just a lot, you know, some really good dog food, but not a lot, okay? And when we change times, she's on like a 7, 11, and a 4:30. When you change times, she's over there right in my wife's lap, right in her face. It's time. No, we're on the wrong time zone. We went back. She knows the time zone. She's mad about it. So today, I'm serious. She's selfish. She's like a new baby. So this morning, I always joke with her. And I had a little papaya, and I put a sliver about this big in her dish. And it went like this. Ding. She comes running. I don't know how she heard anything. And she goes right to where? Guess. Right to the bowl. Then she's looking up at me. I want more. Go back to your mother and wait. That's what we have to do. Now, and you have that baby. Am I right? If that baby is 12 and is going, is there a problem? Yeah, because it's back to you. It's all about me. It's all about our dog. These people, in such a short period of time, they're blessing one another. Now, it wasn't just the Jewish people that would be there that lived there. These people are just blessing. They're giving of money. They're doing whatever. What a joy. Because what kind of a nature did they have? A giving nature. That means they were changing. The fruit of the Spirit was in them. Now, when you see that one verse, sometimes people misunderstand this. They had all things in common. They were not practicing communism. There was no communism all those years ago. Basically, they were just being generous, trying to meet each other's needs. Now, for a while, they did help with all these kind of things, but pretty soon that all dissolved because it didn't work. You know what happens? Because people get selfish. Again, okay, I can have all I want, and nobody's going to ask me to work. That's really what happened to the kibbutzes in Israel. They were great for a long while, but pretty soon people got selfish. So this generous giving was not forced. It came from their heart. Now, serving others is the opposite of wanting others to serve us. The apostles learned himself this principle from Jesus. When they watched this happening, I'm sure they taught it. Where did the disciples know that serving others was better than having people serve us? Who would they have learned that from? Exactly, Jesus. Let me read it to you. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. See, spiritual growth and maturity comes from serving God and others. We learn how to relate to people. We learn to have compassion for people. We generously serve others with our time, our talents, and our possessions. Now, I want to throw a danger on here. I don't mean it to be condemning at all, but it's a truth. I've watched this. You know, I've been a Christian now 71 years. I've been through lots of illustrations in the church all these years, even as a young man and high school teacher and all that kind of stuff in the church. Look at this danger. A Christ follower will never grow and mature unless they are serving God and others. You say, well, Pastor Mark, number one, I don't have the gifts. Number two, I don't have the time. I'm just telling you the danger. You will never grow and mature unless you are serving God and others. Never. And the other thing, if you're a parent, you're teaching the wrong thing. Because I want everybody to take care of me. Don't do that. Now, I can say, you say, well, Pastor Mark, why'd you even mention that? Well, because sometimes brand new people, they don't get it. They don't get, oh, you're after my money, you're after this. No, we're not after anything. We're just trying to obey God. And I just want to say this. Thank you so much. Do you know, and this is shocking to a lot of people, we have 4,000 volunteers at our campuses. 4,000 people that are serving you. What a blessing. Thank you. There's thousands of us. You're just serving us. Not paid people, just volunteers. What a joy. That's a picture of God's love in action. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now look at verse 46. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in the homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Now, remember, why would they meet in the temple courts each day? Because there were no churches. Now, think about this. There were really no church buildings until 300 A.D., somewhere in that area. So where did you have to go to meet? Well, if you could, while it was safe, you could meet in kind of the outside of the temple there. But people eventually got, it was dangerous with it because the Jewish people didn't believe in Jesus, didn't want them there. Where else did they meet? In homes. Can you imagine a husband coming home? Honey, I invited some people over for dinner tonight to our house. How many did you invite? About 100. Watch! Think of how many homes would have to be open to take care of these people. 3,000. But see, they found a way to do it. They found a way to do it. Now, look at verse 47. All the while all of this is doing, they're giving in their stuff, they're meeting, they're helping people, they're taking communion, they're serving food to one another. People are putting the money in and helping into that. All the while, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow. Each day, people were becoming believers. What is that building block? Here it is, number 6. Be empowered, impacting our world. A spirit-filled, witnessing church. That's how it happened. God just didn't go out and knock on doors. People went out. And then God did it all the rest with the Holy Spirit. They shared the gospel. They loved the people. They did all those things. So remember, his promise was already in action now. Remember in 1:8? You'll be filled with God's power. You'll be witnesses throughout the world. What's happening? The world came to them. And they're sharing this truth. The apostles are. They're sharing that truth. They're filled with the Spirit. And these believers are filled with the Spirit. And all of a sudden, they're witnessing the unbelievers to about Jesus' 6 building blocks. You see, when in action, they grow more and more like Jesus. If those building blocks are there in my life and your life, they grow more and more like Jesus. Remember the one thing. The church is not a building. It's people. I want to share you something that happened to me. It's not about me. It's all about God. There's many times, seems to be more often than in the past, that God will wake me up in the middle of the night. And it just happened either Wednesday morning or Thursday morning. I can't remember. He woke me up at 3:30 in the morning. 3:30. I'm like saying, number one, could you wait another 3 hours, please? But I know better, because when he wakes you up, I know he's going to speak to me. And so my wife knows. If I crawl out of bed really early like that, either because I'm sick or something or can't sleep, which is rare for me, for sure rare, but I just close the door gently and go in the other room. Now, why do I get up? Well, I've tried this before. Oh, I got the thought. Good. Then you get up at 8 o'clock. What was that thought? So I get up and I start writing. And here's what God said to me, because you're going to see the proof of what he told me. He says, you got your sermon right, but there's a part you're missing. I said, okay, tell me what it is. Now, some of you are new. You know, God didn't go, Mark Ballmer, 758 Connesty, I'm talking to you. Don't get weird. He talks to our what? Our spirit. We know it's him. You think Satan's going to wake up and say, I got something to add to your sermon? If it is, I ain't listening. So here's what he said. You don't have it right. So I rewrote it. And you're going to see the end. It's very simple. But he made, remember we're talking about a loving church, a learning church, a giving church. They're principles. That's exactly what they are. But he said, you're not making it personal enough. I said, okay, how do I do that? And he told me how to do it, basically. I just used my mind and wrote it down and had time to change the sermon. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to read it at all of our campuses. This is directly from God because it's personal. See, if you leave here and go, wow, our church is a learning church, that's not personal. Even though you are the church, we don't think that way. So let's just begin reading them. And I'll just take one at a time. Here we go. I want you to read them out loud wherever you're at, all of our campuses, wherever. I am a learning, maturing Christ follower. Now just stop for a moment. It's nice to say, are you? I'm not asking for a response. I want you to examine yourself. See, it isn't the church that's this, because we think of the church not as an individual, but it is bunches of individuals. I am a learning, maturing Christ follower. Okay? Examine yourself. Number two, I am a loving Christ follower. I was going to add, in the parking lot. Why do you laugh? Okay, I can get in front of him. All right, next. I am a worshiping Christ follower. Now, remember some of you this morning? You were really, and I came out of that grave. And people like say, what are you, an idiot or what? No, you're still left in the grave. Now, you don't have to do that, but it should be where? From your heart. From your heart. Next, I am a praying Christ follower. Well, we're all kind of guilty right there. Let's just be honest. Okay? Next, I am a giving, serving Christ follower. Wow. Examine yourself. Notice giving and serving. It's not about me. It's not about getting. And the last one, I am a spirit-filled, witnessing Christ follower. Are you? No response needed. Are you? Am I? When you leave, some of you have already thought, well, can I pick those crazy invite up? Who am I going to get on? Well, pray for an open door. You don't go to door and say, here, read it. You look for people that God puts on your heart. Amen? Now, why? Do you think they just went out in the street and said, anybody want to hear about Jesus? Get in line, please. No, they're not stupid. But they probably had friends, they knew people, they whatever. So I'm just challenging you. Notice what we read in the scripture. And every day, God added to the church those who were being saved. Now, he's not interested in numbers. He's interested in people going to heaven. We're not interested in numbers. We just want people to go to heaven with us. Amen? So when you see those, can you understand why God woke me up? It's very different saying, we go to a loving church. No, I am a loving Christ follower. I'm a loving, power-filled witness. Way different than saying the church is that. But again, overall, a church should be all of that. But it's nothing but a group of people that are flowing in the same lane. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I want to just say something, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to have communion. I want all of you to look at me at the campuses. There's some of you here, you've never ever joined a family. Remember, as you're sitting here and you're not a Christian yet, or maybe used to be a Christian and walked away, you're not part of a family. I'm talking spiritual family. We're glad to have you. We all started that way. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God, he saved us. And I just want to challenge you this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to even ask you to repeat a prayer right now. But I'm going to ask you to do one thing. At the end of the service, if you would like to join the family of God, that's not about joining Calvary Chapel. We don't have any membership. How do you join the family of God? Well, Jesus basically has a verse for us. You guys, if you want to put that last verse up in John, look what it says. But to all believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. I'm not making you a child of God. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you're part of the family. I want you to be in our family. God wants you to be in our family. That's why Jesus died. You're part of the body of Christ. So at the end of the service, you just walk up to me. I'll be here down front. And Pastor TJ will be right down front. If you're watching online, you can call the number right now. And just say, I'd like you to make him recommit and come back to God. Or tell me, how do I do this? There's a very simple prayer. We'll pray it for you. It's not long. It's very simple. And you know what? You can leave our campuses today, part of the family of God. That's a beautiful thing. That's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Father, I just pray in a moment as we get ready to take communion that you would speak to people's hearts in all of our campuses online that know that they're not right with God. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. They don't have an assurance of going to heaven when they die. But they can do that today. I pray that their hearts would be opened and they'd be honest enough just to walk up at the end of the service and talk to me or to Pastor TJ or call that number on the line. Speak to their hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how God used his word today to continue to change and shape you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Send us an email at mail@calvaryccm.com or call us toll free at 866-779-3441. And don't forget to listen to the next podcast in this series. Until next time, may God bless you, and together, let's do life right.